Amen. Let's sing that chorus, He is Lord, as we stand to our feet.
For He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
And again, please.
For He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He's my Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated. I don't know why through all these years I hadn't made this connection before, but is today your birthday, Sandra? June the 11th? What other important event in our lives occurred? Sister, is it your birthday or?
Yesterday.
Yesterday was your birthday. Well, I'm particularly talking about June the 11th today, but happy birthday. What are you, 25?
Three times.
Well, Martha, I didn't realize, but you're older than I am.
77.
Oh, 77. You're more than 2 years older than I am. You are an elderly lady. But what else do you know that happened on June the 11th? Ohio River Commission, 75 years ago today. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord Jesus, so are you sent with a message to forerun the second coming.
Yes.
And we're the generation that has the benefit of that commission.
Amen.
We have been speaking the last 5 or 6 Wednesday nights on a sermon that Brother Branham preached in 1963 on July the 28th, entitled Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. It was 4 hours long. We've taken about 5 hours with it so far because I've made comments on the 45 minutes or an hour segment of it, which we've played for you. We've pointed certain things out, but Brother Branham uses the verse of Scripture from Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, which we're going to read in a few minutes. But when you realize what he's saying that God, before the foundation of the world, had a plan. And that plan was that He was going to reveal Himself and all His power, His might, all of His attributes, all of His characteristics, He was going to reveal it to human beings. And He had a threefold purpose in that. One, He wanted to reveal Himself, and He knew that there's no way that people could ever comprehend Him. The Scripture even says, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. There's no way that we could ever comprehend Almighty God. But he knew that if He became one of us, then we could have some understanding of what He was like. So even before the foundation of the world, even before He created angels, which was the first thing He created, even before he created the world or the universe or anything else, He had this plan. I'm going to put humans on earth, But someday I'm going to go down and be with them and become like one of them so that they can understand what I am.
Yes.
Amen.
And so through the ages of the Old Testament in the Bible, he prophesied this through prophets. He foretold it. He gave types and signs and symbols. And then in God's due season, he chose Mary and Joseph, and the Christmas story came to life, and the virgin conceived. And one day in Bethlehem, there was a baby born. And the angels announced this event to the shepherds in the field, that unto you this day your Savior's born. And that baby grew and became a man. And people called him Jesus of Nazareth. And while he was here, the thing he wanted the people around him to do is he wanted to know, who do you say I am? Who do men say I am? And here about a year ago, I brought you a lesson here at the church. Who do your books say he is? You know, a lot of people, they read books by Reverend so-and-so and Dr. so-and-so and everything else, and it explains to them. But the things that you read and you hear, what do they tell you that Jesus is? And I think that I can safely say that you will not find anybody, any place, anything to tell you plainer what God's purpose in Jesus Christ was in this sermon we're hearing.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus Christ was the mystery of Almighty God revealed to human beings. And that was the first step that he had in his threefold plan. The second one was, is that people might understand who he was, but even that one that we call Jesus when he was here, the disciples loved him. They wanted to be with him. Even Nicodemus said, thou art a man sent from God. You're a good man. And he said, well, how did you know that? You see, Nobody taught that. Nobody went around saying, Jesus is a good man. It's when people saw him or heard about him that they begin to say, there's something different. It's the same thing today. Out of all the universities and the books that have been written, there is nobody since his time over 2,000 years ago that even compares with him when it comes to being righteous and holy and powerful and understanding and compassion. He's the standard for all good.
Yes, right.
To be like Jesus Christ. You don't hear people saying, I want to be like Muhammad, or I want to be like one of the prophets, or I want to be like one of the political leaders. But there's billions of people who have lived in these 2,000 years who have said, I would like to be like Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he is also the only one that in his teachings he said, if you will do this, you can be like me. And the things that I do shall you do also. And he even said, greater things than these shall you do. There's nobody else that said, I have power to change your life. If you will follow me and obey my teachings, you will learn how to be like me. He's the only one.
Amen.
The others give you a philosophy. Do this, don't do this, practice this, believe this, exercise this. But he's the one that said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
He's the one that said, I'll be with you, yea, even in you, to the end of the earth.
Yes.
And in simple vernacular, what he told his disciples, you've enjoyed being with me, you've learned from me, you believe in me, but I got a better way than you being with me. Oh, Lord, don't talk like that. He said, I'm going to go away, but this spirit that's in me, it's going to come and live in you.
Yes. Right. Right.
There's no other teacher that's ever taught like that. And this plan of God that started from before the foundation of the world was that there will come a time in the history of mankind where there will be a group of people that will let His Spirit have total control and preeminence in their lives, and they will be led by that Spirit, and the Scripture says they will become sons of God. And I believe that's you and I and others. Now, what can you do to become one of these? Can you be good enough? Can you be righteous enough? Can you be holy enough? The only way you can be holy is to ask Him to cleanse you of your unrighteousness.
Amen.
And let Him do that.
Yes.
But what you can do is to live a life that does not offend Him, so that He can accomplish in your life what He desires to accomplish in your life. I hear Brother Branham say this. Many times when he prays for people, he said, "I pray for you by a divine gift that I had nothing to do with it coming, administered to me by an angel of God. Upon the basis of that, I tell you this will happen."
Yes.
Why? Because that was the plan of God.
Amen.
Now, 75 years ago today, Brother Branham was baptizing people in the Ohio River after he is a Baptist preacher, had a meeting, and I think he had about 125 new converts, and he was baptizing the 17th person. And you know, we went into the numerology of that here back. Even I think that 17 had something to do with it. Noah went in the ark on the 17th day of May, and 10 is an important number, and 7 is a number, and 17 is a prime number, and you know, and I gave you all those things there. But I think even that had a spiritual significance to it. Even if Brother Branham told me a joke, it had a spiritual lesson to it for me. Because that's the way I believe that God dealt with us about it.
Yes.
But 75 years ago today, there was a pillar of fire came down that about 4,000 people witnessed. And a voice spoke out of that pillar of fire on the Ohio River, and across the river from Louisville, Kentucky, and said, "As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord, so are you sent to forerun the second coming." And the second coming of the Lord is what most believers and Christians are looking for. They're expecting it to happen. People call it the end of time, the end of the destruction of the world, the rapture, the catching away of the bride, leaving here, going into another dimension, going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the dead in Christ rising from the dead. And I believe we're living in that day.
Yes.
There's people been preached this and believe this for over 2,000 years. But you know what? There's going to be a group of people someday that's going to see that happen.
Amen.
And I believe we're going to be part of that group of people.
Yes.
Now, the third part of that was that it'll be the kingdom of God revealed in a group of people. Now, Brother Branham calls them bride. He calls them church. He calls them believers. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we're going to let him preach for us for about 40 minutes tonight. But I've got about 10 or 12 quotes that I want to call to your attention from this so that you'll be sure to catch this. Now, first of all, let's read Colossians 1:18. And the Apostle Paul wrote it like this, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Yes.
You know, it's something, you know, for a person to say, well, they're the head, but I'm not going to listen to what they got to say. That's the way most marriages are. The man is supposed to be the head of the family, but the wife says, yeah, he's the head, but I'm the neck. I turn the head where I want it to turn. I support the neck. I support the head. But with this, the time should be in our lives when we want not our will, but His be done.
Amen.
And if we could find out what God wants us to do and follow that leading and obey that, then we've got all of heaven backing us up with what we're going to do.
Amen.
Now, I want to read you paragraphs 503 and 504. This was the conclusion of the section that we had last week. But let me read this, because I think Brother Branham sums it up what he's trying to say in this sermon. Paragraph 503 and 504. We didn't get that one on there or something? Okay. But all this mystery is revealed only as he promised to his bride. Now, not everybody's going to know it.
Yes.
Hell is against this truth of the revelation of this mystery. But the bride is standing on it.
Amen.
That's her stand.
Amen.
Now, why do you hunger, church? Why do you thirst? It's the Father trying to reveal this hidden secret to you. You know, you long sometimes, you want to know this, that. Well, he's telling you now what's happening, why it is. But you let so many things get it out of you. You let your job, you let your wife, you let your husband, you let your children, you let the cares of the world, you let some pastor, you let somebody else get that out of you, when you know that way down in your heart, you're thirsting, hungry. It's God trying to reveal to you. See the revelation. The last day is here.
Yes.
Now notice. Now, that's what we concluded on last week. But when I let him start preaching to you in a little while, we're going to start with paragraph 505. But I've got about 12 statements that Brother Brown makes that I want to emphasize to you before he preaches, so that when they come, you'll see it. Now, the first one is paragraph 507. Just a statement or two out of each one of these paragraphs. 507. Now, he is the head of the church, which is the body, and he wants the preeminence. Now here's what I'm trying to emphasize right now. I want you to notice how many times Brother Branham in this tonight says, listen now, listen close while we're going. I want you to see that he emphasizes it's important that we catch what he's saying. Let's go to paragraph 519. We didn't get these on the list, Jordan? It looks like they've got the audio part first when I wanted these separate. So, can we get them on the list, just where we can go to one right after the other like I've got them listed?
I'm sorry. Last one said that we were going outside of those parameters they gave us, so we just put them all in the sermon with them. So,
I want you to notice that second line. Don't you fail this. I'm just trying to show you about 10 statements Brother Branham says here. First, he said, now listen now. And then I go, don't you fail this. Go to paragraph 520. Here Brother Branham says, I realize I'm talking to thousands on tape. Did you know that's us? Paragraph 529. Then our headship is a kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. Now you may not think that's important, but that's the whole mystery.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
Now paragraph 56. Well, 36. I'm up here and I haven't got much light. Okay. Look at that, about the fifth line. Do you get it? You know, maybe I just ought to read these instead of going to that. Paragraph 507, he says, listen now. Paragraph 519, don't you fail this. Paragraph 520, I'm talking to thousands. 536, do you get it? Paragraph 538, see what I mean? Paragraph 539, I don't want you to miss it. Paragraph 540, now notice, listen to these things. Now is where we want to watch. Paragraph 544, you got it? Now, if you miss it, paragraph 550. Now listen close. Paragraph 569. Does the church understand? Look at there. From paragraph 507 to 569, 10 times he wants to know, are you getting it? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Do you get it? Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, I ask you that tonight. You've heard this five nights. Have you understood anything he said? Are you getting it? Now we go to paragraph 579. That one I need you to read. Then we can see that the marriage supper is at hand. Does that mean anything?
Amen.
I mean, this is a prophet of God speaking. People have been looking for the marriage supper of the Lamb for hundreds of years. But here he said, the marriage supper is at hand. If I never see you again, the marriage supper is at hand. And then the kingdom, according to the promise, is ready to be issued in the great millennium. The taking up of the church, that's the rapture. This is July the 28th, 1963, after the seals. And destroying of the wicked and the world under the sixth seal to be purified by volcanic, to take all the corruption and sin of the world and to mold her out again for the age that is to come.
Yes.
Paragraph 581. This is something I just want you to understand because it creates confusion sometimes. Now, Brother Branham is talking about himself. Well, glory to God. We shout hallelujah. We sing. That ain't it. He says, I'm a missionary. I've been seven times practically over the world. Now, I hear Brother Branham say, Brother Branham went around the world seven times. I want you to know the truth is he never went around it once. He didn't say here he went around the world seven times. He said, I've been over the world practically seven times. Now, it's 25 or 26,000 miles around the world. Somebody had calculated for Brother Branham that he traveled about 175,000 miles. And he says, I've been over the world seven times. But he never crossed the Pacific Ocean. He went to Europe twice. He went to South Africa once. The farthest he ever went to the Middle East was Egypt. He never went to Israel. But there are people that will tell you he went around the world seven times because of this statement. But what does Brother Branham actually say? I've been seven times practically over the world. Now, I calculated that today for myself. And I've got 3 million miles. Five times I have went around the world. East to west and west to east. One time or twice I went north to south and south to north. So there's seven times I did go around the world. But if you take my mileage, I went around the world 120 times. Boy, I've been there, hadn't I? Met myself coming and going. Now, paragraph 591, 92, and 93, I want to read them. What is it? Not them people. The headship and the body has become one unit. It's God manifested in his people. Now listen, folks. People can talk about the Godhead. They can talk about the Trinity. They can talk about the oneness. But listen to what it's come down to. This is saying now that God is in his people.
Yes.
Are you getting that? Don't miss this. Understand this. How many of you understand this?
Yes.
Amen. That's the reason that a husband and wife is no longer twain. They're one. God and his church is one. Christ in you, God's great revelation. I want you, when you hear this after a while, I want you to hear Brother Branham say this, glory to God. See, I can say it, I can read it to you, but you have to hear it in the anointing of his preaching. Yeah. God and his church is one. Christ in you. God's great revelation. Glory to God. Even bearing his name. His name is Jesus, the anointed. That's when we're baptized in water in his name. Yeah. The reason he is called Jesus, he is the anointed. It's the anointed body of Christ, proving, manifested God-like, that body did. And that body redeemed every one of these bodies. And through there, God works his threefold manifestation. Going to the kingdom, risen, paid the price. We're redeemed. God has provided it, vindicated it. And we stand justified in Christ. And remember, justified means just as if you never did it.
Amen.
Before him, because he cannot pass judgment. For he's already judged that body in which I am a part of. What now am I a part of? Here it is. It's in me. If you abide in me and my works abide in you, then what you say, ask the Father anything in my name, it'll be done because it's there. Justified.
Amen.
Now, folks, we say we understand. We say we're getting it. But if we believe it, then that's what will happen. Oh, if I could get the world to see that. There you are. This is the body of Christ, living, standing redeemed. You understand this tonight? You're redeemed.
Amen.
I appreciate so much sometimes the simplicity that Brother Bram said it in.
Yes.
We can talk about the blood of Jesus Christ doing something for us. But during the seals, he used an example, and he uses it again tonight. If you take a drop of ink and you put it in the tub of bleach, what happens to the ink? The bleach changes the molecules. Do you think there's any way that you could ever take a spoon or a strainer or anything else and ever get that ink out of that bleach and bring it back to be a spot of ink?
No.
Brother Bram said, that's what happens to our sins.
Amen.
When they're put under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They're gone.
Amen.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
Hallelujah.
But we all look at ourselves, we're a sinner. We did this, we did that, we're still this. But let me tell you, if you put your sins by confessing them under the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't remember. God don't even remember them.
Amen.
Nobody should bring them up against you. Because
right.
It's just as if you never did it. Why are we justified? We are his victory. We come forth in this last days with this glorious gospel, showing y'all are losing me tonight. Showing his victory. He died for this purpose. And we are proof of his victory. Amen. When we see him coming down and living among the church, that's his victory. Shows that he couldn't keep him in the grave. Neither can they keep us. Listen to that. See, we understand about Jesus. What about us? Even though we die, there's going to come a time when the grave won't keep us. We've passed from death to life.
Amen.
Church, do you get this?
Yes.
Do you understand this?
Amen.
So you die. You're not dead.
Right.
There's a promise of Almighty Eternal God that says you'll live again.
Yes.
That's right. And we're ready, potentially arise, because we've raised from the dead unbelief in his word, from denominational creeds to an eternal word of the eternal God, which is him, himself, working through us, manifesting himself, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Now let's start from the beginning where we said we'd start tonight, and let Brother Brown preach this, and maybe I won't confuse you anymore. Paragraph 505. It's my pleasure tonight to have Brother Branham preach this to you by way of tape recording. So God bless you.
Let's look back again. I can't pass all this. just want you to look here just a minute now, and we'll close just a few minutes. You'll be, just give me your undivided attention for a minute. Notice Colossians, the 18th verse here in the book of Colossians. 18th verse. Now, he is the head of the church, the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the head of the church, which is his body, and he wants the preeminence. Listen now, listen close while we're going. Why? He is to be the head of the body, his bride's body, which is taken from him, flesh and bone, like an Adam. See? Bride. Born from the dead. See? That's born from the dead sin of unbelief. What killed Eve? Unbelief. Is that right? The unbelief in what? The unbelief in God? No, she had faith in God. Sure. Did she say there is no God? No, sir. She wasn't an infidel. Well, she said, you know, I don't believe his word at all. Oh, no. She believed all but one little thing. Amen. See? Now, didn't the Bible say over in the book of Revelation, Jesus said himself, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things unto you? Whosoever shall take one word from it, or add one word to it. And if all this heartache and sorrow had to come because a woman doubted one word of God, will he let you back doubting one word? He'd be unjust.
Amen.
See, that wouldn't be right. Condemn. Here's one man standing. He caused all his heartache because of one word doubted. Then he goes ahead and takes years of experience and everything, Bible and so forth, and others who give their lives for it, and say, oh, you can go ahead and eat. That's all right. I'll let you back anyhow. Oh, God is no respecter of person, but in that all. God is no respecter of person. Notice now, he is the head of the body that's born from the sin of unbelief in God's word. That excuses every denomination, every creed. See? Unbelief in the Word, which is Himself, the Word of life. See? The Word only has life. Any other word is a hybrid. No matter how much it looks like it, it isn't the Word. The Word produces its own life. That Eve swapped for personal knowledge. See how the church has today? Through some man's understanding. Moses had a great understanding of God till he met the burning bush. Amen. Then he saw his failure. The burning bush had what Moses lacked.
Amen.
The Word's got what the denomination lacks.
Amen.
He, the head, is the first fruits of the resurrection. We'll go off this revelation just a little while longer if you say so.
All right.
Just a little bit now. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Is that right?
Amen.
What? Then, what is he? He's the head of the body, which is his church, bride.
Mm-hmm.
Then the bride body must follow the head, for it is part of his resurrection and part of the mystery.
Amen.
It's impossible for it not to go. It's part of God's mystery.
Amen.
How God revealed himself here and raised it up by the word. So he reveals the church and raises it up by the same word.
Amen.
It's a part of his threefold mystery. As the head was tucked from the grave, so must the body follow him back to Eden, where the head of the family, the man, the bridegroom, the bride being the body of the bridegroom, must follow the bride because that's the head. And the head's revealed and come back with eternal life, and the body must follow that. Because it is husband and wife again. Amen. As long as you're pregnant with the same word, which is his body, you've tucked his body, becoming him when you tuck the word. Not the creed, the word. Oh, my. Wouldn't that make a text for this afternoon to go on? Huh? My. Wouldn't that be wonderful? See? Just think of it now. What it is. Therefore, the body cannot recognize. Don't you fail this. The body, therefore, cannot recognize any other headship but the Word.
Amen.
Because the head is connected with the body.
Amen.
And the head is the Word, and it's the same Word. One headship, therefore denominations and holy fathers and everything else is dead done.
Amen.
There's one headship. That's Christ.
Amen.
The body only recognizes one thing, the Word.
Amen.
Now show me where somebody was baptized in the body in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And what you recognize. See, I realize I'm talking to thousands on tape, you know. We got tape ministry around the world. What name are you baptized in? For there's not another name given under heaven, said the Word, whereby man can be saved.
Yep.
If you're baptized to show your belief in Christ and then take on a creed name, then you're hybrid.
That's right.
If you're not exactly like that church and exactly like their teaching, then you Catholic people. How can you go under the jurisdiction of a pope now, saying that he is a successor by apostolic succession from Christ, from Peter, and this pope and this church teaches so contrary to this first word,
Amen.
Which God recognized by signs and wonders to be his church, and to see that same word being brought forth today in its purity, showing the same resurrection that he had there, God living among his people doing the same things, then you can recognize a headship in Rome. Our headship is in heaven. I'm not going to Rome. I'm going to heaven when I die.
See?
The headship is in heaven. And the body must follow the head. As the wife follows the husband. Being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve. Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression. Or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth at the day of the Lord Jesus when he come forth from the grave. But he had to redeem her, which is his body. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. Do you see it? Oh, my! See? It couldn't have happened then. The redemption is going on. I see the seals. Well, he's in his mediatorial work back here redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed. And all that's in this book would be him.
Amen.
For that's the believer, the Word's in the book, and the Word is him.
Amen.
And all that's in that he come forth for this book of redemption, whose names were written on the book before the foundation of the world, and he was slain as a lamb.
Amen.
And here he is today.
Praise the Lord.
In his Word. Manifesting the same thing you did there.
Amen.
She can't recognize another headship. No, sir. No bishop, no nothing. She recognizes one headship, that's Christ, and Christ is the Word.
Amen.
Oh, my. Whew. I love that. Yes, sir. As the head was tucked up from the grave, so must his body follow him into Eden. Therefore, the body cannot recognize any other headship but the headship of the Word. No denomination can put anything to it, for whosoever shall take one word away from it or add one word to it, it took away from it. You're dead, hybrid, right there. She's back here with this testimony in her hands, the filthiness of her fornications, committing a spiritual adultery against the very word that she claims to believe.
Right.
Therefore, it's word or nothing.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
He, the Word, how do you know it's right? He, the Word, is vindicated. See, he, the Word, properly vindicated, is the headship. The head of the church. He is the Word. The headship. He's properly identified, vindicated by his own spirit being in the church itself, the person, showing forth himself in vindication is a direct proof to the entire body.
Amen.
Y'all need creeds then.
Amen.
Denominations has perished. But the headship itself recognized in the body by personal identifications, see, identifying himself, proves the headship to the body, then we are united under one vindicated headship, that is Christ, the Word of God.
Amen.
Not under any church. Then our headship is a kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you, said the Bible, Jesus.
Amen.
The kingdom, we are not a denomination. We belong to a kingdom. And the kingdom is the Word of God made spirit and life in our own life, bringing to pass every promise in this day as it did in that day when the Word and God was one.
Amen.
And the Word and God is one in His church today.
Amen.
Making it the headship of the body that is redeemed to bring the message in the last day and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection to go back and to restore again as Adam and Eve in the beginning of the Garden of Eden. the threefold mystery of God, His body. Oh, my. Notice closely now. Like and types Israel of old. Am I taking too much time? Oh. Don't let me go. We ain't got about 20 more pages.
Good. Amen. Good.
But just a little bit now. And then I'll leave you all go till next summer or sometime, if the Lord willing. See. Now look. Notice now. United, together, under one headship, in a like manner type of Israel of old. Now, you getting it? Like Israel of old, one God, vindicated by a pillar of fire, and revealed Himself through a prophet to be the Word.
Amen.
The same God, same pillar of fire, same way, He cannot change His way.
Amen.
That's as perfect as it can be, isn't it? Hey? One God. How many gods did Israel have?
One.
How many is the bride God?
One.
How many will there ever be?
One.
Sure. Hey? Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, which was a pillar of fire, in the days of Moses, the great prophet. He was directed by a pillar of fire. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Going to a promised land. And in the Christian age, there was one God which appeared in the form of a pillar of fire to a prophet called Paul, who was sent to the Gentiles to take a people out for His name's sake.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Is that right?
Glory. Yeah.
And in the last days,
yes,
has come down in like manner,
amen,
of vindicating Himself, see, in the same sign, same wonder, same pillar of fire,
amen,
same gospel, same word, same manifestation. His body will do the works that He promised, like in Mark 16 and so forth. His body was not held in the grave, but was recognized with Him in the resurrection.
Amen.
Do you get it?
Amen.
Then the body of His believing children,
amen,
will not be held in the grave when He comes, but will be recognized with Him.
Amen.
Because He died for the purpose to resurrect His bride, the body.
Yeah.
Recognized because it is His body, because it's the Word.
Amen.
It's so completely yielded from denomination things to Him, and He is the Word. See? And it's recognized with Him because now we have the first fruit of our resurrection, but know that we've passed from death into life, become prisoners of His, and God proving to us by His personal headship that He is the same yesterday and forever, but doing the same things through the church that He did then.
Amen.
He and me and I and Him and you and, you know, so forth. That's right. His body was not held in the grave. Recognized with Him in the resurrection, same as He is now. Listen, which means this, His Word which He is, has began to be risen. The Word, down through the age of Luther, Wesley, has begun to raise up to its power. There it began to move. Then it moved a little more. Now it's coming up to identification. See? Watch. Now, to the life in the body is a vindication of the rapture is at hand. When you see the headship and the body becoming one, and the fullness of the measure of His manifestation shows that the body is about ready to be received to the headship.
Amen.
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. See what I mean? He has begun to give life unto His body. Why? The one that He has redeemed, the meteoric work is done. He's bringing His life to body in a vindication for the rapture. Remember, now in the last day, if you look, just bear me on this, just a little bit, it'll be all right. I don't want you to miss it. I've got to take this tape now. I've been to start this far. One more great remark I want to make, if I have to move over a little of it. Now notice, listen to this. Now is the great thing. Now is where we want to watch. Remember, in the last days, we'll exactly go back and vindicate the first day. See, Adam and Eve, husband and wife. No sin, life, then the fall. Notice closely. Twist her up. Notice what caused it. Lucifer. Lucifer is doing now as he did at the first time. just as the kingdom of the Gentiles was brought in with King Nebuchadnezzar, vindicated the Gentile race by a prophet who could interpret unknown tongues, visions, dreams, and it's come down through the Gentiles without anything. It's Medo-Persians and iron and so forth. And in the feet, it goes out the same way. Again, the Gentile kingdom. Notice, Lucifer in the last days is doing as he did at first. What did Lucifer do? The first thing that Lucifer done to separate the fellowship of God and man, he wanted to build him a united kingdom of greater splendor and seemingly more cultured, a greater kingdom than Michael Christ had. You got it? Now, if you miss it, just hold up your hand. I'll say it again, see? See, Lucifer, at the beginning, his purpose and heart was to achieve a brighter and greater thing in heaven than Christ had. Is that right? By seemingly a more cultured, more beautiful, more splendor than the kingdom of Christ. Do you think we'll have automobiles in the millennium and airplanes? See what Lucifer's doing? Now, the big, fancy, intellectual denominations are doing the very same thing, gathering themselves together to do the same thing. See? They are gathering and denominating themselves, each one trying to beat the other, and now they got so much splendor, they don't know what to do but to unite it with the Catholic Church. Lucifer again, building a bigger kingdom to push out people that don't believe in denominations and even take their church buildings and make storerooms, and the pastors of such has no rights at all.
Amen.
And a man that is a God-sent man will never stand in a denomination after hearing this or seeing it. If he's got enough to go out and look at it, certainly. I don't say that critically, I say that truthfully.
Amen.
To see that revealed. Notice, in this last days, Lucifer's doing the same thing. Can you see it? The devil doing the same thing, building a hybrid church. A hybrid by hybrid members. Hybrid by knowledge instead of the word, by intellectual man instead of born again man. Building an intellectual kingdom that'll outshine Christ's little bitty flock. See? What is it that did that? Fallen angels. The Bible said it was fallen angels? Who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ, who they once belonged to. Is that right?
Yes.
Now listen close. Fallen angels. What kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostals, who kept not their first estate like the angels did, and has fell into organization like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. And what have they done? Organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast, as the Bible said, and building a Christian economy that will close the doors of this church and others like it.
Amen.
See Lucifer at his work? I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation or mystery of God. What did they do? Sold out to reasonings of wisdom and education like Eve did. Fallen angels did. Wesley was a man of God. But what followed him? Fallen angels got into it. What was the angels first? Created beings of God, but fell for Lucifer's wisdom. Fell for Lucifer's wisdom. And you see what they become? Fallen angels. And organizations from man of God who's went forth to establish truths in the earth, before that truth could go on and proclamate and get on to the real revelation of Christ, fallen angels come in and took it over and made denominations out of it. That's the reason the revelation of the seven seal mystery had to be unfolded.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Now you see it?
Yes. Amen.
What they left off, if Luther would have went on, it'd have been here. If Wesley would have went on, if Pentecost would have gone, what would they have done? Now, there's only one thing can happen. There has to be a message at the end time. When there is nothing else can follow it. And now the ecumenical world has set up such a regime that there can be no denomination and no nothing else follow it. You're either in it or you're not in it.
Amen.
The fruit is in the top of the tree. And the light is shining on that predestinated fruit. It's just ripening into Christ-like fruit. Bringing forth the same mellowness and sweetness and the same spirit that he had in him. Hope you see it. See, I try to put too much in one day to wear you out. So, they sold out to reasonings. Sold out to reasonings of denomination. If I can just belong to this, the mayor goes to this church. If I can be a Methodist or a Presbyterian, just look where they've gone. Now, I've just explained them. Limbs are pruned. Oh, they're dead. They're not connected with Christ anymore. They'd be bringing the same life. They're not connected with it. But they're like a citrus fruit. Any citrus fruit will live on a citrus tree, but it'll bring its own fruit. You put a grapefruit in an orange tree, it'll live by the orange tree, but it'll bring forth grapefruit. You put a lemon in there, it's a citrus fruit, it'll bring forth an old sour lemon. But it's living off of the life, and that's what the denominations are doing by under the name of the church. It's the bride. That's the original tree, the original spirit. The revelation comes from Christ, not the denomination, Christ. Notice, what the denomination tried to do, exalt itself, like Lucifer. They so call themselves the church, the bride, which they are in Revelation 17, as this spoke of, the false bride. Above Christ's little flock, the bride, Lucifer thinks and exalts himself above the humble word of God's truth by the knowledge of the revelation, and has placed himself by seminary education and theology until they have got themselves up. And if you don't belong in their group, then you are an outwash. Like Lucifer did in the beginning. Saying to the people just exactly what Lucifer said to Eve, surely God will receive us. We feed the poor. That's good. Surely he will receive us. We are a great denominational. We are a beautiful church. Well, look at our great buildings. Look at our great membership. We stand in the millions. Surely God will not turn that group down. The same thing that Cain did. Brought in the pretty fruits from the ground that he had tilled and toiled and worked and brought in the fruits and rejected the humble blood of the Lamb. God have mercy that man and women will not think I'm saying this to exalt something or some personal revelation or something. I'm only telling you the truth.
Amen.
Can't you see what they're doing?
Yes, amen.
I speak it loud and harsh, but you've got to drive a nail to the clinches if it's going to do any good. Because right? You'll see it. Now, saying to the people, surely, you mean to tell me that our great Catholic Church has stood all this time, our great Methodist, and our, look at our forefathers. See? But they broke the word of the Lord. And Eve was God's, one of his, she was a byproduct of Adam. And because she doubted one word of God's word, it did it. And here's Lucifer at his job again today. And remember, the Antichrist is not communism. The Antichrist is so close like the real thing till it deceived the very elected if it was possible, Jesus said, Matthew 24. The elected if it was possible. Lucifer. Again. Lucifer again is breaking God's unity in man by his limiting the Word of God to his reasonings. What he thinks is right and what he thinks, he breaks the Word of God. And the same thing he did in the days of Jesus, and Jesus said, you by your traditions has made the Word of God of no effect. And the denominations by their organized intellectual reasonings has made God's Word of no effect upon the people.
Amen.
Right. They just can't see it. Then they say, where is the God of the Bible? He's right here. He's the Bible. That's what he is. Notice. Now, Lucifer comes into cunningness and breaks the unity of God to man just like he did in Eden by great temptations of promises of self-power and exaltations. Well, you might become a bishop if you just stay with us. You might become a district presbyter. Why would you go to something like that, see? That's Pentecostal. The Catholic and so forth, see? A great false promise to man to receive power outside the word and promise of God. You receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you,
amen,
not when you become a bishop or a deacon or whatever it was.
Amen.
See? But Lucifer's at his job again. Does this church understand that? Raise your hand so I'll see it. All right, I won't stay with it any longer then. Breaking from apart from the Word of God. See? He did the same at Nicaea, Rome. You know what Constantine gave them? You went through the church ages. They didn't have nothing but just Christ. And they sat in the little buildings anywhere they could on hard rock floor. You know that if you took the Nicaea Council and the pre-Nicaea Council and the Nicaea Fathers and so forth in the history of the church, they had nothing. But when they had this council and inducted some of the Roman paganism into Christianity and put holy man and bishops and so forth and popes and all this kind of nonsense, what did Constantine give them? I asked any theologian to tell me. He gave them property. He gave them freedom and all that they wanted. And they swapped the Word of God for the wisdom and culture of man. And that's the same thing Lucifer did then. He did in the Garden of Eden. And they died right there. The Pentecostal church died at Nicaea, Rome. But to be resurrected in the bride tree in the last days. Notice, Lucifer comes in conning like he did then. And by temptations and false promises of power apart from the Word of God. He did the same at Nicaea, Rome. He's doing the same today at the World Council of Ecumenical Churches. Let's all unite together, the Pope says. I want all my ecumenical brethren out there to unite with me. We're one. That's right. In organizations, you are one. But that has nothing to do with the Bride of Christ.
Amen.
Not a thing, brother. You'll never wash her in anything like that. Now, it is promised in the last days that the original faith in the same to be restored to the children of God at the time of the bride tree. Malachi 4. God said before the world burns up with fire, behold, I send to you Elijah the prophet, and he will restore the faith of the children.
Amen.
Now, that wasn't the first Elijah to come. No, no. Now, we don't teach your Elijah's mantle and Elijah's blankets and all those things like that. We just teach the Word of God. See? That's what he said. See, we got all kind of a Elijah this and Elijah that, which is nonsense.
Amen.
That's, we know that. I'm not talking about that, and you at spiritual minded understand. See, it's a late hour, it's getting late, and can't put it all on this tape, of course. Now, the promise in the last days, now if Jesus said, and Matthew, I believe the 11th chapter, the 6th chapter, and 11, no, it's 11th chapter and about the 6th verse, when John sent his disciples over there to see if he really was the one, Jesus said, who did you go out to see? A reed that's shaken by the winds? Did you go out to see such and such, he said, or did you go to see a prophet? He said, more than a prophet. John was more than a prophet. He was the messenger of the covenant. And he said, if you can receive it, this is he which is spoke of by the prophets, I'll send my messenger before my face. Now that's Malachi 3, not Malachi 4. Because the Elisha that was to come in Malachi 4, the earth was to be burnt with a fervent heat, and the righteous was to walk out in the millennium upon the ashes of the wicked. So it is not that one. See, now we see the promise being fulfilled. Christ, the true headship, coming in his bride, doing the same works that he did at the beginning, and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did at first in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Then the head and the body are becoming one in works and in sign and in life.
Amen.
Vindicated by God himself through his promised word for the last days. He promised this in the last days. Now, if you're spiritual, you'll catch it. Then we can see that the marriage supper is at hand.
Amen.
Now, if I never see you again, remember, the marriage supper is at hand. And then the kingdom, according to the promise, is ready to be issued in.
Amen.
The great millennium, the taking up of the church to the destroying of the wicked, and the world under the sixth seal to be purified by volcanic, to take all the corruption and sin of the world and to mold her out again and bring forth a bright new millennium for the age that is to come. When we see all these great threefold revelation, God in Christ, Christ in the church, the kingdom coming, Adam and Eve redeemed back to the Garden of Eden in the representation of Christ and his bride, and then the kingdom
is going to be restored according to His promise. Praise be to God. Now, by the revelation of the threefold mystery, the secret, and by the personal vindicated word by His original headship. Now, I'd say, well, glory to God, we shout hallelujah, we sing. That ain't it. I'm a missionary. I've been seven times practically over the world. See? I've seen heathens, devils, and everything else dance and shout. I've seen all kinds of fleshly manifestations. That's carnal. But I'm talking about the headship of Christ. Notice, being personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question. Glory! We have the answer to the devil's question. He, Christ, is risen and has paid the price and raising up the head of the body. Amen. The devil can't stand it. Amen. That's the reason these economical kingdoms are setting up. That's the reason they're all coming into what they're doing now. The devil, that's the reason he's howling the way he is. Amen. His wickedness has been, his scheme has been uncovered. Yeah. By the risen, resurrected Christ. Amen. In the headship over his body. Yeah. Glory. You think I'm beside myself or not?
Hallelujah.
We got the devil's answer.
Amen.
Not me that liveth, but Christ the Word living in me. It's not my idea, it's His power. Not my idea, it's His Word. He promised it, here it is. He said it would be here, here it is. We got His answer. Christ is risen and has paid the price for our redemption. What God in Christ manifested, He gave that flesh that and blood, that in the blood might come the life and the flesh be redeemed.
Yeah.
That God in this redeemed flesh could manifest His Word for the day as He did in that day.
Yeah.
Glory. You see it?
Yeah.
Oh my, when can I stop? Notice it. Man, we stand justified in the presence of God as a drop of ink dropping into a tub full of bleach, you'll never find the stain of the ink no more. It went somewhere. It'll never come back again. And when man is truly redeemed, that predestinated seed that sees it and accepts it, his sins are demolished. It's gone. It's separated. It's dropped into the ink of the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's never to be remembered. God forgets it, and He stands as a son and daughter of God in the presence of God. Amen and amen. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, we are. Now we're redeemed. We have Satan's answer. God's vindicated Himself. God proves Himself to His promise in this day. Hallelujah, the headship is here.
Amen.
Amen. Christ, the risen Lord, is here in the same power of His resurrection that He ever was.
Hallelujah.
Manifesting Himself. There's the devil's answer. That's the reason when this man sitting here dropped dead the other day, sitting here, we can say, come back, life. Because the Holy Spirit said so. That's why I could do that little baby under Mexico had been dead for about 15 hours. When the vision comes and said, call it back to death, life. Said, let the little baby live. And the baby that the doctors wrote a statement died at 9 o'clock that morning and at 11 o'clock that night come back to life's living today. What is it? Not some people. The headship and the body have become one unit. It's God manifested in His people. That's the reason the husband and wife's no longer twain, they're one. God in His church is one, Christ in you. God's great revelation. Glory to God, even bearing His name. His name is Jesus, the Anointed. The reason He's called Jesus, He is the Anointed. It's the anointed body of Christ. Proving, manifesting God like that body did. And that body redeemed ever these bodies. And through there, God works His threefold manifestation, going to the kingdom.
Praise
risen, paid the price, we're redeemed.
Amen.
God's proved it, vindicated it.
Yes.
And we stand justified in Christ before Him because He cannot pass judgment, for He's already judged that body.
Amen.
Amen. And which I'm a part of. What, how am I a part of it? Here it is, it's in me. Amen. My, you abide me and my words in you. That's what you say. Ask the Father anything in my name, it'll be done because it's there. Amen. Justified.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, if I could get the world to see that. Why, there you are. There's the body of Christ living. Standing redeemed. Redeemed. Oh, my, justified in His sight. Why are we justified? We are His victory. The church is His victory. We come forth in this last days with this glorious gospel showing His victory. He died for this purpose and we are a proof of His victory. Amen. When we see Him coming down and living among the church, that's His victory. Shows that He couldn't keep Him in the grave, neither can they keep us.
Amen.
And we're already potentially arise because we've raised from dead unbelief in His Word, from denomination creeds to the eternal Word of the eternal God, which is Him Himself, working through us, manifesting Himself that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. The human mind cannot comprehend that unless you got a revelation that that's what God's Word says. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You understand? Your sins are like a drop of ink in a tub of bleach.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God, my sins are gone.
Yes.
Amen. I just feel like standing singing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul tonight.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Like, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me so great a salvation, so rich and so free. He brought me in. He brought me in. Oh, I praise God. He brought me in. Just look out yonder where I have been. Oh, I praise God. He brought me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Before we dismiss you tonight, I'd just like to talk to the Lord first, just a moment, okay? Lord Jesus, we have heard this message now for about 5 or 6 weeks. We believe these words are true. But Lord, may there be a revelation in our hearts, our lives, our minds, to where we can say we comprehend that you do live in us. That this has been your plan from the beginning. This is the mystery of God that the Bible speaks about. That says in these days it shall be finished. And what a privileged people we are, Lord, to have been had the opportunity to hear, an opportunity to become a part of this. May the enthusiasm and the revelation of it strike our hearts.
Yes,
that inside of us we'll say, blessed be the name of the Lord. God's word is truth. God's word is truth. And this I believe in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen.
Amen.
What a joyous people it should be in our hearts.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
To know that in Him we have this wonderful promise. Folks, you know, you can talk about all the things that's wrong in the world, But there's never been a group of people that's had an opportunity to say, this is my day. This is the day when God's word is being fulfilled and we can see it coming to pass. What can we do about it? God chose us. And if you understand that he looked at all the people and he brought you into this, then he didn't bring you in for you to miss it. He brought you here for you to understand this.
Amen.
So may God be praised and glorified and magnified in our hearts tonight. Amen. As we go, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, the Lord willing. Heavenly Father. Yes, amen. I love you. Dismissed in the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father.